In the 4th century, Saint Helena made pilgrimage to the Holy Land and discovered the relics of the true cross. And it would be her son, the Roman Emperor Constantine, who would build the great basilica in Jerusalem over the site of the Lord's crucifixion and of his resurrection. The church that is there today is not the original one which Constantine built. That had been destroyed earlier on, but this one that's currently there was built in the 12th century. And again, we're reminded that this feast, the Exaltation of the Cross, celebrates the finding of the relics of the true cross, but also the dedication of that beautiful church that houses the place where the Lord died and where he rose from the dead. But the message of the feast for us is simple. It is a message that reminds us to exalt in the cross, to rejoice in the cross of the Lord, because by the cross, God manifests his power in the world, his saving power. You know my love of the saints, and I speak of them often. And if you read any description or any of the lives of the saints, you will always find that mystery, that they had great success in their work. Oftentimes, they knew the joy of the Lord, but yet they also experienced in a very powerful way the mystery of suffering, the mystery of the Lord's cross. And despite the suffering that they endured, God always brought about good from the mystery of the cross. This week, we'll celebrate on Thursday the feast day of St. Joseph Cupertino, who was a Franciscan friar in the 17th century. And for all practical purposes, as a young man, growing up, he was a simpleton. He had very little mental acuity. He couldn't study or learn his academics. He was unable to retain anything. And physically, he was very klutzy and couldn't perform some of the most basic daily tasks. His family abandoned him, and he applied for residence in several monasteries. One religious order had refused him entrance because of his lack of the academics that he couldn't study. The second one refused him because he seemed to always be screwing up, making a mess of things. There's a neat little movie that's in black and white that I often watch around this time of the year called The Reluctant Saint. And it's the story of St. Joseph Cupertino. If you haven't seen it, you can stream it on any of your devices or whatever service that you use. But I'd encourage you, take a look at it. How he even came to be ordained a priest, despite all the obstacles and the sufferings of the cross, is a revelation of God's power. But whether it's the life of St. Joseph Cupertino or any of the saints, even our own lives, we have to remember over and over again that the mystery of the cross reveals God's saving power. That even though we may not be aware of it, when we're in the thick of what seems like great suffering, God is at work. God is accomplishing his purposes. We look at the cross of Jesus, and to the apostles on the day of the crucifixion, all of their hopes had been shattered, seemingly, right? The cross seemed to be utter failure compared to all that they witnessed Jesus do and say over the 3 previous years that they spent with him in his public ministry. And yet the cross was the very means by which God entered into death itself and into sin and destroyed it, so that it no longer has power over us, that the life of grace, the ability to be virtuous, to live holy, the ability to receive eternal life, to be reconciled back to the Father, that's all accomplished by the mystery of the Lord's cross. And the cross didn't end on Good Friday, but the cross became the mystery of the empty tomb, of the Lord's resurrection. And we have to remember that. What is it that we pray in the psalm so beautifully this morning? Never forget the works of the Lord. Don't forget the work of God. And that's how God works. That through the mystery of suffering, he always accomplishes great good. The mystery of the cross reminds us that evil never triumphs, that God will always be victorious. God will always have the final word. In the first reading from the Old Testament, which is referenced by Jesus in the Gospel, we hear Moses commanded by God, take what is afflicting the people of Israel, these serpents, and mount it on a pole. So the very thing that afflicts them, the very thing that makes them sick, becomes the very thing that brings about their healing. And that whenever they look upon the bronze serpent cast in metal, the Israelites are healed. It's sort of an Old Testament reference to what Jesus would do on the cross. That just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, Jesus says, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who looks upon him and believes in him may have eternal life. That God's power is greater than suffering. God's power is greater than evil. God's power is greater than any trial we can experience in this world, and that he indeed will always have a final word. That's the work that we must never forget. In Lithuania, which is a very, very Catholic country, in the northern part of the nation, there's a beautiful shrine, a place of pilgrimage called the Hill of Crosses. And over the past 200 years, the Lithuanians would bring crosses of various sizes to this little place, oftentimes in commemoration for prayers answered, graces received, as a reminder of the difficulties that they were going through, not only as a nation, but also as individuals, and how God had delivered them. And despite the fact that they were a very Catholic country, up until 1990, they were ruled by communist government, which forbade pretty much any public expression of faith. And it was very tough to live one's faith in Lithuania. And yet, despite that, and the communist government in the 60s and twice in the 70s would bulldoze this Hill of Crosses, that the Lithuanians would continue in secret to bring these crosses up to the hill. A beautiful place that John Paul II visited on pilgrimage during his pontificate when he came to Lithuania. But it's a reminder, again, of the mystery of the victory of the cross, the mystery of the Lord's power, that Hill of Crosses is a sign of hope, it is a sign of power of God, it is a sign of the faith of the Christian people, that God is always victorious. And we must always remember that in our lives, especially as we look at the world today, enveloped as it is in such darkness. St. Thomas Kempis wrote in his book, The Imitation of Christ, a beautiful chapter called The Royal Road of the Cross. And he wrote these words, which I think are fitting for the celebration of this feast day. He reminds us, in the cross is salvation. In the cross is life. In the cross is protection from enemies. In the cross is infusion of heavenly sweetness. In the cross is the strength of mind. In the cross is joy of spirit. In the cross is highest virtue. In the cross is perfect holiness. There is no salvation of soul, nor hope of everlasting life, but in the cross. Take up our cross, therefore, and follow Jesus, and we shall enter eternal life. For if we die with him, we shall also live with him. If we share his suffering, we shall also share his glory. Behold, in the cross is everything, and upon our dying on the cross, everything depends. Every time we gather for the Mass, what is the mystery that we celebrate as God's people, but the making present on the altar of the mystery of Calvary, the renewal of the Lord's sacrifice, the same sacrifice that happened on Good Friday 2,000 years ago. And Jesus gives us his body, blood, soul, and divinity to feed us in the Eucharist. As his people, as his disciples, may we never be afraid of the cross. And in the midst of the trials of life, may we turn to the Lord and remember that God is greater. God's power is always victorious. May we ask the Lord to strengthen us and to help us remember his work.